Should have mentioned, I guess, ahead of time, this moving things up here. Most of you probably know already, but Brother Brian is doing a meeting up in Corner area, I understand, I think. So that's why he's not here today. And he's up there finishing off that meeting, and so I'm doing Bible class for him. Brother Harry will be speaking at the worship hour and stuff to go while Mr. Brian finishes his stuff up there. This is a fellowship time today, fellowship hour for eating. Doesn't mean we can't fellowship around. Florence and I even had a small discussion with that. She said, oh, it's fellowship today. I said, well, it's fellowship every Sunday. You know, well, no, it's not. We don't eat together every Sunday. Well, we could. I mean, if we actually went back and did Acts 2, we'd do that. You know, we'd probably eat together more often, like during the week even. But we don't follow that part or implement any of that. So anyway, we're here. I did not pass inspection this morning, leaving my house. You know, in fact, she asked me to get in the car with us. Why are you wearing that stuff, you know? And then it came as we were driving the first mile or two. She says, that's got something to do with what your lesson's about, isn't it? Said, very smart lady. Got it. So that's what I'm wearing. Looks sort of crazy, especially for a Bible class and worship time and all that stuff. I'm only, but if I was at work in an outage, this is typical of what I'd look like as I started a day, other than having the rest of my PPE and all that stuff. Sort of marked, right? Huh? Somebody knows what you're doing. You walk out in the field or something like that with safety blazing across your chest and all that stuff. So we're sort of, okay, here I am. You know, so if somebody has a problem with safety, has a question about safety or whatever, you're a person to go to. You're there to help. And also, it's sort of, man, what if somebody finds me violating the basic safety principles out there? Huh? That would be a... Boy, I basically couldn't stand it. How do you defend yourself when you're safety and you're out there trying to encourage people to do things right and you're out there violating the safety principles yourself? Not very good, right? I had nothing to say to anybody then. I mean, I lost my voice. Nobody had listened to a word I say, okay? I get an opportunity at my work to deal with industrial safety. But radiological safety, chemical safety, environmental safety, electrical safety, a lot of different things that come into my realm and looking at safety. And my whole idea, you probably heard it places you work, is I want you to go home the same way you came. It is not okay for you to leave injured in my book. Okay? And I certainly don't want to have to be the one. It falls under me because of my job. But I don't want to be the one to have to call your family and say, your loved one's not coming home today because I did something stupid. Or I let him work unsafely. So they're at the hospital here, you know, where it be Wake Med or Rex or somewhere. You can go visit them, but we hurt them today because we let them work in a manner that's not safe. Would you like to make that call? I don't look forward to doing that. And again, I think I've shared the story before, but it was really emblazoned on me really hard while I was a scoutmaster, and we almost killed four boys because we failed to do our homework. We were going canoeing, and the assistant scoutmaster in charge of it didn't check the river level. It had been raining. Should that have told us something was different? Yeah. We didn't check it. We didn't finish the required training in the canoes, and we still took people out there with a brand new lifeguard and turned them over within feet of where we put in and almost killed four boys. How's that going to be to call somebody's parent and say, we killed your youngster because I didn't do my homework? I wasn't ready for this trip. Safety matters about what we're doing. It's not part of my job description at work, but it is an opportunity I get at my work to care about people's spiritual safety. You ever thought about that? As far as us as believers in Christ, there's a thing that we probably ought to look at, maybe more often than we do, about spiritual safety. Am I really safe in the spiritual realm that I'm trying to walk? Am I working even, if you will, to keep myself safe? All this came to mind with it, or where my office happens to be and all that, is outside of a conference or a working area for electricians. And during the outage, that's pretty full because we get some extra electricians in to help our folks out. And I saw a guy there, and the guys didn't actually come in until we had already been rolling about a week to 10 days because we had a hard time getting folks for this outage. But a guy came in, had a little cap on his head and all that stuff. So I just introduced myself with it and just asked him, I said, "You happen to be a Jew?" I said, no, I'm not a Jew and all that stuff. I'm a Muslim. Oh, okay. So we start talking and all that and sharing. And then lo and behold, there was another gentleman. Didn't have the kofi on like the first one did. That's that little hat that men wear. They wear that to be in subjection, if you will, to Muhammad. As in Muslim, Allah is God, and they'd like to convince us that Allah and God are the same. But I don't know, I'd go through and say, here's a neat book, No One But God. That's exactly what the Muslims teach and go through too. But this is from a Muslim who converted to Christianity. And he talks about the differences between Christianity and Muslim. Okay? I guess for us in spiritual safety, I'd wonder, do we know anything about Muslim religion? Do you know anything about Islam that you'd be able to, if you met one, how would you talk to them? What would you say? Okay? And go through. Some people would even get to you and all that stuff. Do you have one of these things? Go through and look. The Quran, that's their book. Like our book here, the Bible, you know? You read. Well, I'll go back and make another tie. See, when I go out in the field to talk to people and all that stuff, and this is one of my monikers out at Harris. Got these little things in my pocket when I go out. These are our standards. These are our procedures that say how we're going to go about doing things. So I carry some general ones in my pocket, and if there's a particular job I'm going to watch that I know has a different, I get the standard for that particular job. So I go out and watch it, and if I see something that's different from what the standard says, then I can coach people about it and talk to them. And if they raise a question to me and all that stuff, well, let's just go to the standard here. Let's see what the standard says. And then let's adjust our behavior to what the standard says. And that's become such a moniker for me out at Harris and all that stuff that this past outage, I would just come out of a reactor containment building, so I was in my scrubs. Didn't have my procedures with me and all that stuff at that time, but I went to look at something at the turbine building before I went back and changed again. And I was a person from Fleet that was there helping us out saw me. And the very question he asked, "Man, where are your procedures?" People are so used to seeing me with them, and he confronted me and said, "Man, you're out here in the field. You don't have your procedures. How's that?" You know? But I ask us, okay, do we go? Yeah. This one you see sort of colored and all that stuff. This is for our son. But I had one of these when I was in the Navy too. Could use one of those at work and all that stuff. And that would conveniently fit in this back pocket right here. You know? And carry it around. That's the standard. Okay? That's the book. So if somebody wants to ask me what I'm doing, what I believe, and how I'm walking, I got to know the standard, right? Same as I do at work. Before I go coach somebody and tell them, say, "Hey, we need to change how we're going about stuff," I need to know the standard. Okay? Because I'll get that question if I coach them on something and all that stuff. Some of the folks are going to, their first question back to me is, where's that standard? You ever get that? As being a Christian, somebody asks you, we got to know what the standard is to be able to talk to them, right? I started talking to that Muslim and then the other one I met and all that, and started talking to them some about what it says. And it, one of the things that impressed me is they would talk about this book. And boom, this passage or that passage, and go to it and talk about what they're at. And some of the standards, some about Muhammad's life. There's, I believe it's a kahith, it's called, and all that stuff, different stories about Muhammad's life that were written down and going. And a Muslim is called upon to follow what Muhammad did. Muhammad couldn't write, so other people wrote things down for him. And there's, I read and all that stuff, what I understand, there are hundreds of thousands of people who wrote about Muhammad's life. And those are all gathered under that one column, and the Muslim is supposed to learn that and try to model their life after him and where they're going. So in talking with them, it just got, man, can I model that to the people around me when it comes to Christianity? If I wanted to talk to them and go out and get them, and they ask me about what I believe, am I familiar enough with the standard to be able to bring that up and talk to them right there about, oh, this is what the standard says. This is what the Bible says. Let's talk through what the Bible has to say. Challenge for us. I think this class will be more effective as we are interactive with it. And I would challenge you some of the things that may come to your mind to think. The men of the congregation are about to make up the budget for next year. Look at things that we may need to do. Things that this congregation should fund to make a difference in God's name in the city of Sanford, the county of Lee, and if God wills, beyond that. So I think it behooves us to think about those kind of things now. If something comes to mind, maybe that's something that needs to go to the men for that discussion, so we can need to look at our budget as we make up a budget for 2023 to say, what are we doing right here in Sanford to make a difference in people's lives and to challenge people about the way they walk? One of the men I talked to there, the two Muslims and stuff, the electricians were there, had been a believer in Jesus until he was about 19. He was 19 when he converted to Islam. My first question back to him was, why would you go to religion with no Savior when you had the Savior and everything you ever needed? Why would you change? What do you think he told me?
Hypocrites.
He didn't use that word. His first words was because it was practical to my living. In other words,
he found something he could live with instead of living up to.
That's the greater depth I went into in studying some since that conversation. That's exactly one of the reasons some people convert to Islam. And there are apparently a large number of Christians who convert to Islam. Okay? According to the studies I did this past couple weeks, it's a large number who leave the body of Christ and go to Islam. There's billions of Islamic people around the world now. If they're not bigger in total numbers to Christians around the whole world, they're awful close now. And they're about to be the largest in number of people religious faith around the world. So that means we're going to have to deal with that faith. What do we do? What do we say to people? But one of the reasons he gave was it's practical. Is Christianity practical?
No. It requires something. That's the thing. Something don't require anything that's easier than something that does. And to be a Christian, there's requirements come with it. You've got to live up to it, as you said, the standard. Mm-hmm. And the standard's only found in one book. We can read commentaries, we can read anything we want to, but when it's all said and done, if it's not in Scripture, it doesn't matter. I know they call their Quran, which I bought 8 or 9-11, and they went through it. And I don't know how you ever fall for that, but but anyway, that's another story. It's a mindset that you want the easy way out, which in the long run is not going to be the easy way out.
I mean, I honestly don't see where the Muslim religion is practical with you. I can't remember how many times a day they're supposed to have these prayers, but they're supposed to, five times a day they're supposed to go to this place and pray and have all this washing. They're supposed to actually go through all this ceremonial washing before they actually pray. That's not practical to me. I mean, if you talk about practical.
Okay. Well, this individual and several highlight that in reading about Islam. That's one of the things that people really, really like. They call it more practical. And I think it's down to the discipline. Is where it is. Okay? It calls to, you're expected to pray 5 times a day. If you can get to do special washings and all that stuff, then that's okay. But if you can't, you stop 5 times a day and you pray. And there are certain movements even that are expected during some of those prayers and all that stuff. That's why most of the time they will kneel down on their knees. And then they do.
We're supposed to pray a day. Every meal, we'll get up, we'll go to bed. So.
Well, faith is the first one, then the praying. The third one is almsgiving. They expect their people to share their wealth and get along with people. Fasting is the fourth pillar, and the fifth pillar is a pilgrimage. The pilgrimage you're supposed to make once in a lifetime to go over in the Middle East there to where Muhammad went. That's only if you can afford it. So there's some caveats in the wording and stuff like that to do with that. But that's the five things. And basically, there's a discipline to their way of life. Okay? And that helps the people out that have gone to Islam. Is there discipline within being a follower of Jesus?
Should be.
Exactly. There should be. That's one of the things that we, okay? When I go coach people, what am I doing?
Well, you're telling them what's expected of them.
I enjoy being a coach of young people, and I coach soccer, I coach basketball and stuff, even as a scoutmaster. It's amazing trying to help somebody discover things, to help them to see the knowledge they already have and how to put it to use and all that. And especially when the light comes on, all right, you know, you see it and going. But that's all I'm doing when I go out there to people at work and the coaching and stuff is saying, hey, we're not being who we ought to be. That's not the way we decide we do our work. Okay? One of the biggest problems I find, though, and so therefore I've changed my question a lot when I run into two or three people, but I coached a gentleman this outage and all that with climbing a ladder. That's a keys to life issue. If you get off the ground and you get up, that's a serious problem when it comes to working. You've got to work safely. If you fall or you drop something on somebody else, we call those keys to life. Your life can be in serious danger if you're working at heights. This guy's climbing wrong, lifting stuff, so I ask him, his co-worker standing right there watching him, is he doing what's right? He just looks at him. Well, yeah. Oh, really? Why is he doing this? Well, why has he got that? And no answer. Not uncommon at all. The people are doing things that are not right. And somebody else is standing right there watching them and letting them do it. Do we do that in the church?
Sure.
Yeah, we do.
I guess if somebody says they want to follow Muhammad, I mean, are they going to go marry a 9-year-old? Are they going to kill a 15-year-old girl's parents and marry her? I mean, you know,
they could.
Are they gonna lust after their son's wife and have him divorce their wife so they could marry their son's wife? I mean, you know, is he a person to follow, really? You know.
Well, that's one we have to study with it. But I'm saying people, they call it practical and going, but it makes it easy on people because there's not, you don't have to confess your sins. Okay? You do good deeds. Go out and try to be good to people. Try to be, you know, respectable, I guess I'd call it, and all that stuff in people. And you follow Allah. He is the only true God. And go that way. You know, then Allah is going to make the final decision at the end of your life whether or not you get to go to heaven or not. You know?
That's where the disappointment's going to come in.
Yep. Well, and that's and their belief and all that is their prophets, which they start out with some people that we understand, you know, with Abraham and Jacob and some of the Old Testament characters, that's right there in the Quran and their stuff. But they speak of them, no sins. Their prophets have no sins. Muhammad included and all that going. That's really interesting. If you read the Quran, I marked a couple of them, but I don't want to get into all the reading with it too much. But there are passages in here and all that that talk about the prophets and talks about their sins. Okay? To Moses, he gave the scriptures, and after him, we sent other apostles. We gave Jesus, the son of Mary, veritable signs and strengthened him with the Holy Spirit. Will you then scorn each apostle whose message does not suit your fancies, charging some with imposture or slaying others? Okay? We do that? If we don't like somebody, what somebody's saying, what do we do with them? Same way he's bringing up, right? Do you like them or do you throw them out because they're saying something you don't like? But Scripture would challenge us and stuff to say, if you don't like it, you probably need to go look in the mirror. Because the problem is you, not the standard. Okay? But anyway, there are other passages in there where it talks about the sins of the prophets. I'm saying, well, I thought one of your things is the prophets are sinless. That's a problem, okay? But the Quran's got those problems inside of it. And it's just something you'd have to learn But I don't want to focus just on Islam. What I want to reel on is the thing that people left because Christianity is practical. So for us reaching out to the city of Sanford here, to the county of Lee, would they not need to see us as believers showing that Christianity matters in my daily life, that it's practical to me in the way I go about my business? That's the same wearing this thing out in the field with safety. If I'm not behaving safely in the field, are people going to call me out?
They should.
I hope so. Okay? Because I should be the example. The people out there at Harris know I'm a follower of Christ?
I hope so.
Yes, they do. Thank you. Because if they don't, that's one of the conversations I had with the Islamic people about how you go about living. I shouldn't have to tell people I'm a Christian. That's my belief. I should not have to tell them about right. They should see by the way I speak and by the way I act that I'm a follower of Christ. And when the opportunity opens, the door's there, then I'll speak His name as well. And we'll talk about it.
Don't step on your mic.
Thank you. So I ask us to say, how practical is Christianity the way I live it out as a follower of Christ? How practical do I make it in the way I live? Are there standards for us to follow in Scripture? Do they touch our daily life? Things like, you know, were mentioned there. You know, sexual relations, are they mentioned in Scripture?
Yep.
Sure enough are, okay? The way I speak?
Yep.
That's one of the more scary ones to me. Jesus says, you're going to give account for every idle word you speak? How much time do we take thinking about that one? Huh? When we may talk about people, you know, behind their backs, if you will, stuff like that, but Scripture says you're going to give account for every idle word you say. Huh? And 1 Corinthians 10:31 is really, I love that one and all that stuff, but whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do all for what? Do all for the glory of God. Is that why I'm doing what I'm doing? Am I doing what I'm doing, saying what I'm saying, for the glory of God? Or so often is what I do, how I go about what I'm doing, because it's, well, what's in it for me here? Which one might be the most profitable way for me to go? You know? We get all over Jonah sometimes, right? God called Jonah to do what? Oh, go to ugly people in Nineveh. Huh? Go speak the gospel. Go speak my word on the gospel by then. But go speak my word to the people in Nineveh.
He hated
them. Huh? Yeah. Are you joking? The people in Nineveh? You've got to be kidding me. Does God love the people that are a different color than I am? Does God love the people that have a little different culture than I do?
Yep.
Harry and I talked a little bit last week. He went to a congregation in Connecticut that was all black people. I had an opportunity to do that in South Carolina, in Charleston. That's different. Okay? As a Caucasian person, you go to them, the way they worship, the way they handle it is not exactly like we handle it. Are they believers? Sure enough are. But I tell you, the way their heart comes out in worship is a lot different than what you'll see in a general Caucasian service. Their hearts are really shown. We're working on getting a Spanish-speaking congregation. You think their worship's probably a little different than our Caucasian is?
Okay, yeah.
I'll bet you it is.
That'd be some difference.
So if we get a Caucasian congregation, excuse me, a Spanish-speaking congregation going, that's one of the things we're going to have to look at, because somehow they go about and the way they speak it and do it may be a little different than what we're used to. Doesn't necessarily make it wrong, but it's different.
Scripture.
Need we go? So Jonah eventually went. He preached. Has God called me to do something? Has God given me a hint sometime, asked me to go do something that may be tougher than I like, may cause me to have to sacrifice a little more than I like? may cause me to give up something that I really, you know. No, am I willing to go? Or willing to say, now God, that really can't be what you want. You can't really be asking me to do something like that. But that's probably, to me, is Christianity practical? Do we pray? When something happens in our life, something, I'll call it wrong or something amiss, and to me, again, that's just our reaction. That doesn't necessarily mean things that are happen to us are always bad. It may, in fact, be God trying to bless us, and we just don't see it that way at first. But bad, when something bad happens, what's our first reaction?
Prayer.
Huh?
Prayer.
Ah, prayer is where it should be. But is that really our first reaction sometimes? Or do we, oh man, how bad is it? We complain, we murmur, we get all up. Prayer is given to us for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Reaching out to people who have needs. God's blessed us with stuff, right? The funds He's given me aren't mine. They're His. I'm just a steward. So do I use those to bless Him? Do the things He wants? Or do I look at those resources more as Doug's resources, and so I file about the way that may be pleasing to Doug instead of asking for the wisdom and discernment to use them the way God wants them to be used? That's where I'm wondering about practicality of Christianity as you go. Okay? Christianity is a love relationship between a child of God and his Maker through Jesus the Christ. Okay? And in the power of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is yielding our heart and life to Christ. Do you agree with those? The bedrock of Christianity is a personal, passionate devotion to the Lord Jesus. Would you agree with that? Would people see the passion you have by the way we go about our life? Is that just so evident that it can't be missed that I'm in love with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ? I'm so in love with Him, I just can't hide it. Take that back to your spouse, those that are married. Most of us in here, I think, are married with it. If your spouse just take it, would you wording words say, oh, I love you? Once a week or maybe once a month. You think they expect to see something else that would display that love's real? How passionate are you about it as you go about the way you're living? Christianity that costs nothing is worth nothing. I think Gary mentioned that before. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. But if it's true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. From my study and looking, those who converted from Christianity to Islam, and actually even the latest surveys of the modern day church, is that right there. It's moderately important. Is that true of me? I got to go to the mirror and ask that. Is that true of you? Is that true of us as a body of believers? That our faith is just moderately important. You know one thing. What's something about Islam that stands out to you? What you know about, huh?
The martyr is what gets me. They are willing to die for what they believe in certain situations. And we're afraid of being offended if we stand up sometimes for what we believe. I mean, you think about what a difference that is. There's a huge difference in to me.
Oh,
would you rather have to kill somebody or just maybe hurt their feelings? That's the truth.
Well, that's exactly true. You watch the Islamic people, you look at the nations. Yeah. Our son just came back from an Islamic area, and I haven't had a chance to really talk too much about him and all that, but he really got a different picture of some of that from watching the Islamic culture over there. But that's one that really stands out. They are committed to what they say they believe. And they are committed to the point of, I will die for this if I have to. Is that called upon us as believers to be that committed to what we say we believe?
It is.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be.
Indeed. Not to the point of killing someone else.
Well, no, that
to the point of death. Yeah. To the point of death, our death, we're to do that.
Is there ever an example of that in Scripture?
Yeah, look at Stephen and all the apostles. I mean,
so well, Stephen's one who's on the good side, right?
So, yeah.
Peter's probably the biggest one that stands out, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm willing to die for you. Man, if everybody else backs off, I'll be right there with you. What did he turn around and do within hours?
Denied him three times.
Huh? That's too costly, man. If I stand in this situation here right now, they're trying Jesus right over there. If I stand up and say I'm a follower, they're going to kill me too. You must be kidding. I'm not going to say that here. Do we do that?
I guess to me there's a big difference, though, because they're willing to make martyrs for their religion instead of be a martyr for their religion.
Well, they're willing to be.
I thought, you know, growing up, I thought, you know, this Muhammad person was probably a good person and all. Yeah. But the more, you know, I worked with a Muslim at work and I got into it. And to me, honestly, the more I studied it, he's basically a cult leader that's into power, sex, and money.
I'd agree with you on that one, but they're willing to make martyrs. Why do they make martyrs?
Power.
Power's one of them, but...
Steal women.
The unbelievers who debar others from the path of God and disobey the apostle after they have seen the light shall in no way harm God. He will bring their works to nothing. It goes on, another verse. Your reaction to those unbelievers who take people away? Kill them.
Yeah.
Right out of the Quran. Mm-hmm. They're following their book.
They're preaching murder right in that book.
Okay? Now, they wouldn't tell you that face to face, the ones I've talked to. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you, most of the people you talk to, that it's a religion of peace. And that's by their normal practices and the disciplines they try to go to, that's the picture you'll try to get. But they hold very strongly to what they say they believe and people's adherence to it, that if you don't, it says, just take them out.
Yes, kill them.
Did God ever say that?
In the Old Testament, he had whole nations taken out.
Okay, in the Old Testament, that's one of the reasons he told Israel to clean out the people of the land, right? But why did he give them that direction? He told them why.
So they wouldn't take what they believe.
Because if you don't get them, then you're going to fall prey to them. And you're going to be worshiping idols. Okay? Go through the New Testament. Okay? 1 John. Peter. If you can actually go 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. What's one of the main things in those? Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Go to 2 Corinthians. What's the concern? I know you know what too. Guard yourselves. Are you taking care of yourself? Are you looking? There are deceivers all over the place. 1 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy that. You got to look. You got to look at each other. You got to protect each other. Because there are things around that are going to try to take you away from the faith. To me, Islam's just one of them among the many other religions.
All denominations are that way, in my view. I mean, you know, if you fall for a denomination, you're being pulled away. I mean, not to the extreme of the Muslims, don't get me wrong, but I mean, there's no difference in pulling you away from what the Scripture says. I was raised in a denomination, so.
Well, I was too, but that's where you got it.
I learned to read the Bible when I moved on.
So I come back to us. Here, back to my picture. He's telling us in Scripture all through those books and other places and stuff too. Okay? We can go back to Matthew 23 and 24 and stuff even. Before we get up to the chapter, we're looking at things are coming. There's going to be things there that are going to try to pull you away. But the courage to us, the challenge is watch out, right? Be alert. What's it say? Those of you who are stronger are supposed to what?
Encourage those that are weaker.
Help those who are weaker. Are we alert? Are we helping each other? And as some even had a conversation with somebody right across the street from me even this morning after the COVID was in a way sort of neat in the way it helped us, our congregation, other congregations discover the various technologies that could be used to us, right? But part of the problem after that now is people have become so used to the technology that it's easier to sit at home and listen to something on the line than it is to come gather. And part of the conversation I have with the guy this morning is, well, listen to the sermon is one thing, but you can't get the fellowship. You can't interact with each other by sitting there watching something on a technology.
You're not coming together on the first day of the week, number one.
Yeah.
I mean, it was wonderful things when they said, we can't do this. But there comes a point that we're going to use it as a crutch.
Yep.
And I was talking to the preacher in our home congregation up in the mountains, and he said that was the worst problem they had. And they was thinking about dropping the whole thing just because people were starting to use it abuse it instead of use it.
Okay. So where's the next step with that? Where do you think I'm going? The question to ask. I coach my people at work to say we're better than this. All right? When we're doing things that are amiss. That's not us. That doesn't give the right picture. If somebody outside of our Harris workforce comes in here and sees us behaving like that, they're going to get a picture to say that's how we live. Now, that's the wrong picture. That's not us. We can't let you work like that. And so we as a whole, and that's one of my biggest coaching right now, even to the leaders. I told the leaders this past pre-outage, we need to make up a schedule for the outage, for them to be out in the field coaching. He says, I don't want to hear from you when I ask you about how your group's performing safely. I don't want to hear you tell me, well, they told me this and they told me that. What I want to hear is I saw it. I put eyes on it. I went out there. I saw it. I know they're doing it right. For us as believers, how do we know we're all doing okay spiritually?
We got to see each other.
Huh?
We have to be able to see each other.
We got to see each other. We got to be in touch with each other. We got to see each other. We've got to be honest with each other about what's really going on in our life. Where are we spiritually? What are we doing? How's your prayer life? How's your study life? Huh? All those kind of things as being a believer in Christ. And that's, again, we go back to practicality. Is Christianity practical? Do I pray more than just having a meal? Does it mean something to me enough that I make time for prayer? Do I study? Do I regularly have a regular time of study? Not just reading scripture, but studying, digging into it. By myself, even better, a group, small group, or here when we get together to study as a group. Do I really study God's Word? How willing am I to speak of my faith to other people? That makes a big difference in your growing as a Christian and how much are you sold out to it. If you're sold out to it, you'll tell somebody. Okay?
I think you said a key word there, growing. And yeah. We can't grow if we're not uncomfortable. We get in our little comfort zones, and we don't want to get uncomfortable, but if we're not uncomfortable, we're not growing.
Okay.
I think it's really important to mention, too, you know, we can sit here and talk about any religion and feel any kind of way about it, but when it comes to our growth and to evangelizing, I think we need to take a step back and say, why? And when you, last I looked, the Islamic faith was one of the largest, fastest growing in the entire world.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is because people crave discipline, they crave structure. And half the world, you know, the rest of the world looking at America, we're a joke in a lot of ways. And even Christianity as a whole has become such a blanket title that when so many denominations, congregations, whatever, have gotten away from teaching Bible from teaching what it says, from teaching the discipline that is required. That's why it's become so nonchalant, because, okay, well, I can show up on Sunday and it just is what it is, and I've checked off this list because they're giving me this feel-good sermon. Something like the Islamic faith, no, you don't agree with it, but in a way you got to respect it. The discipline that y'all have for it, the calling that you feel towards it, is exactly how we should feel as Christians. And to be able to do that, we have to know the root, the why, the cause, what is expected. And making sure that we teach that, I think, and, you know, it is fair that people are afraid to hurt feelings and this and that. But psychologically, if you take a step back and see why something like Islam is able to recruit so many, it's because people want to be told what to think. They want to be told what's expected of them. They want the structure. And if we can get out of our heads and say it out loud, we'll grow.
No, I appreciate that. That's the last word that we don't like to talk about a lot. It's discipline.
Yep.
Huh? We have to have discipline. There's scripture. Christianity requires discipline. Go about it. The ultimate end, in fact, your goal, my goal, do you have that out there as a picture? Same goal God has for us? I want you to look just like my son. Sounds, you know, but these Islamic people, or be it other groups that I disagree with, but I love them because they're still people made in God's image. They're still people that God wants to save. Okay? So I can disagree with them. I've got to go study what they teach, study some of their stuff to be able to converse with them intelligently, and then we have a conversation. But if I don't even know my own standard, if I don't study it and have the discipline to learn and practice my own belief in Christ, I don't have a hope against an Islamic person, or for that matter, some other religions. Because that's one of the things they're going to ask you. Just like me wearing this safety emblazoned out there and all that stuff. If I don't practice it, I don't have a hope of influencing anybody. As a Christian, if people can't see me living as a Christian, speaking as a Christian, and the way I react to people when things don't go well, or say even if somebody at work speaks disrespectfully or whatever like that toward me, my reaction to that makes a huge difference about my witness for Christ. Okay? So I'd leave that for us to think about. Is Christianity practical? You read technology and all that stuff today, that's a big challenge in our technological world. They'll say it's not. I differ and say it is. The science and technology we have, God made that. God's letting us discover it. And God still reigns in the midst of it.
He used it. It's like the surgeon that done my lung transplant. I told him, I don't know if you believe in God or not, but he's using it. It's the same thing in everything we see. Computers are as good as they are evil. It's what man does with any of this stuff. But God gave the man the ability to invent whatever it was. It all comes from one place. What we do with it's up to us. That's my worldly view.
Well, thank you. That's a good summary. I'll leave it with all of us to go out forward. That, I think, is what we, looking at the other people around us, looking at the influence God expects us to have on the world around us, how we live our faith, how practical it is to us, and how devoted and disciplined we are in following it, will make a difference on the impact we can have. If we're not practicing what we say we believe, we have no hope to change, to help somebody else see the Savior that God sent us and have them appreciate Him and commit to Him. We've got to be committed if we want somebody else to. So I ask, are we committed, fully committed, even to the point that I'm willing to die? That's what it calls for. Am I willing to die to be a follower of Christ? I won't deny Him, even if somebody's sitting there with a gun at my head. I'm willing to be faithful. So let's go out and do that and impact the world for God's glory. Thank you.